We're back live from Circa's Galaxy Ballroom in Las Vegas.
We are indeed back. Sorry about that. We lost the internet because, well, that's technology sometimes. This is Raheem Ann Harris on 670 The Score, and we just wrapped up talking about, unfortunately, we had some pretty good steam and momentum when it came to being excited about the Cubs' win last night. The most important part is not only did Marshall collect the dollars that we owed him, but other people gave him money as well. So you've got that going for you. In Vegas, we call that house money. You
know? Robbie says he's going to fax me the dollar. Don't do that, Robbie. I'll take that dollar in person when I see you next.
You're getting the dirty dollar that Layla gave me.
Oh, you know what? I appreciate that because that's the dirty dollar I'm going to give her whenever the White Sox decide they do want to get over 46 and a half wins.
Made money is clean money, in my opinion.
Okay, that's fair as well.
We wanted to also tease this, but now we're here because of technology. So we got advanced copies of the Seth Wickersham book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, the famous book that detailed not only Caleb Williams and his dad, Carl, talking about whether or not he wanted to be a Bear, but it also goes into the vignettes and backgrounds of other quarterbacks that came on long before him, like John Elway, Peyton Manning, his dad, and this is also referred to a lot, Archie Manning. Warren Moon's story is reflected in this book. There's a lot to digest. We only got it a few days ago, so between trying to prepare for our shows and also do the right thing with acknowledging the current Bears, we wanted to sit down with this, and plain reading was a part of this for me. The way the stories are told is in a series of vignettes by Wickersham. He goes into not just recollections of stories that others had, but also then puts them next to current storylines that you are seeing take place in real time. So the storytelling is some in the past, and then it's some scene change to what is going on in real time with people. That includes Carl Williams and Caleb Williams, who, according to reports, they did both make sure that there was an integrity check with the author, Seth Wickersham, and that it was being portrayed in a proper and integrity-filled light.
No, I think the process, and you know, we talked to Seth Wickersham when we first learned this book was coming out because of the ESPN article, which highlighted some of the things that Caleb Williams was going through as a Chicago Bear. I like the process there. The vignette format of the book was interesting. It reminded me of watching movies like Valentine's Day, Crazy Stupid Love, Love Actually, where you have different things happening with different characters and somehow they kind of connect in many ways. And that's what you see with the quarterback because, let's be honest, quarterbacks is within the fraternity of football, its own fraternity. And so to see what certain quarterbacks, former like John Elway and what Jack Elway did and Peyton Manning. And obviously you start talking about Peyton Manning, then it's Archie Manning and then it's Arch Manning and then it's Cooper Manning. And there's a lot of Manning in there.
Eli,
of course. And so understanding all of that and even Caleb Williams and kind of the cross-referencing of people he came into contact with on the way to really what his stated goal was as a child, which was to be the best quarterback of all time.
And I think that there's a part of this that Wickersham tried to illustrate, but perhaps because of the storytelling style with juxtaposition doing a lot of work here, because the contrast of the stories did, I think, a lot of the painting of the actual positions people were in. Like, for example, we all know that the Mannings are made men, not just in football, but in American society. We know that John Elway rose to the top, not only defying process, but then also being part of ownership in larger groups of the Denver Broncos, more important parts of the team. You know, that was the goal. Roger Staubach is referenced in this because after he was the Cowboys quarterback, he proceeded to run a commercial real estate business that became a true empire. So that part of it was illustrated, I think, really well. But the other side of it is the Carl Williams and Caleb Williams arcs and illustrations of what they were going through, where at times I feel like they were unfairly portrayed in perhaps the motivation. And at times I thought perhaps almost painted in a way of delusion when it came to the drive. But that's because, as a lot of us know, when you're not the guy who looks like Peyton Manning, or you're not the quarterback who looks like, per se, Eli Manning, or in this case, John Elway, that you have to work twice as hard. You have to be twice as good. And it was quoted in here at times, the contrast of being a black quarterback, and that was illustrated in some of what the discussion was between Carl and Caleb and what the quotes were. You know, be good at all the things that your, quote, traditional quarterback is good at, but then also be athletic and be able to be good at essentially every role they need you to be.
And Warren Moon is one of the quarterbacks who's featured also, that there's plenty of vignettes about him in this as well. So it was interesting how that was weaved into the conversation. And I think going, if you're a Bears fan, why this book should be important to you is to understand, first of all, how you're perceived. And I've been arguing about this. One of the things that stood out, right? The nuclear option. I felt like we got a very defined definition about what the nuclear option was. It was this simple. It was, we're going to force a trade no matter what. That's what the nuclear option was, according to Carl and Caleb Williams and their planning. Carl was ready to do it, to say, if you draft us, we're not going. You're going to have to trade us. And Ryan Poles ultimately saying, we're drafting you anyway. That's the way it's going to be. And Caleb saying, I'm good with it. I'll make it work.
Now, John Greenberg again, and I think this is worth mentioning a few times, said that there was a fact-checking session with Caleb and Carl in January. And that meant that, I think, and therefore, they were going to make sure that what was said about them in the book was indeed correct. This is an embedded author. They let him into their process. And I think that's very important to note in all of this, because when what came out about the book initially, it sounded like people were reacting to investigative gotcha-style journalism, akin to what we saw Jesse Rogers report about Kyle Tucker previously. But that's not what this was. This was an invited presence, so much so that you learn about what Carl Williams and Caleb did when he was in fifth grade. When he decided at that point, when Caleb said he wanted to do this, that running back wasn't going to be his fate, that it became clean food, you know, no more fast food when you're in fifth grade, what he had to do, what Caleb agreed to do with his dad to try to make this work. One of the quotes in here says, word about Carl Williams had started to spread in NFL circles, that he was a combination of Marv Marinovich, the poster boy for out-of-control quarterback dads, that he was Jack Elway or Archie Manning, only with a less talented son. And that right there tells me why he felt the need to work so hard. So once you read this book in September, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind, that perception is there no matter what you do out of the gate.
Strong, strong comparison that I got while reading this was remembering the interview, I don't know if you remember this, Layla, that Venus Williams did at a young age, mm-hmm. where Richard Williams, her father, her tennis coach, had to stop the interview because she had answered a question. And the interviewer was basically like, well, why do you think you can do this? He's like, she already answered you, bro. Like, why are you trying to get an answer out of a child to suit what narrative you're trying to create? You're not going to sit here and berate my child when I've given her a certain level of confidence. And we all know what happened with Venus Williams and her younger sister Serena. And that would not have been possible without a certain installation of self-confidence and self-worth that a lot of athletes don't have, because their parents are the ones turning them over to coaches as opposed to keeping them on the straight and narrow themselves. And that's what I feel like Carl Williams was doing with Caleb Williams. The one story that illustrates that the best is when Carl Williams, in this book, goes to wake up Caleb Williams for an early morning workout. And Caleb Williams is like, and Carl.
Like 4 a.m., right?
Yes.
Not your time of 5 a.m.
No.
Was even earlier than that.
And Carl Williams said he thought that Caleb thought he was going to, you know, rip the sheets off the bed and say, get up, it's time to go. He didn't do that. He just turned around, started walking out the room, and that was motivation enough for Caleb to be like, I guess it is me. I'm going to have to motivate myself to get up out of this bed and do the work that has to be done to reach this goal of being the best quarterback of all time.
But the reason I don't blame parents like Serena and Venus's dad, like Carl Williams, for example, and also like LeVar Ball, is because they know what has happened to them and people they know, and they knew that nobody, in the words of Notre Dame, nobody was going to outwork us today. And so that's what you see. And I think the difference is Yeah, that's a quote in this book about the word about Carl Williams. But Caleb was a willing participant in this. He told his dad he needed more. He told his dad he wanted to keep pushing himself. And I think Carl is right when it comes to the CBA and how it forces quarterbacks to play in certain ways and how the new CBA is particularly stringent and without loopholes, as we've seen, when it comes to player freedom and what was going to go on. I don't think he's wrong in that at all. But when you read this book, there are also points here that were made, similar to the articles that have come out, about how there was very much a purposeful process to not play in Chicago. Like, you need to understand that part of it, too. And I think it's, when I was reading it, I kept thinking to myself, is this because you would feel like all the work that you did would go down the drain because of timing of who had the first overall pick?
Your life's work at this point. We're talking about American Kings, a biography of the quarterback by author Seth Wickersham of ESPN. He's the ESPN senior writer, and it's a phenomenal job of taking years of work here and putting it together for this book, which I think is a revealing look behind the scenes at the quarterback position. And I want to give the framing that Seth Wickersham, in the beginning of this book, talks about how he wanted to be a quarterback and how his quarterback dream ended when his junior year, he was not going to be the backup quarterback on varsity. Instead, they said, you know, you guys over here on varsity, you guys on JV. They read his name. They pointed to the JV side. He becomes a receiver. That's the end of his story as a quarterback. But he has this certain just the way he levitates the quarterback position above all other things in sports and what that means, not only on the field, but in life, to be a quarterback, whether it's in high school, college, the NFL. And that's the framing through which this story is told.
Well, yeah, I mean, you even see it in the title, American Kings. Typically, there's only one, you know that, per country? But I think that that was a clever way of putting it and also very correct to what you're seeing. Some of the other highlights in this that I think are important was that a lot of people had the visual of Caleb Williams crying on the sideline at USC. Well, here it says Trivers knew that cry, Trivers being his previous coach in high school. Caleb always cried. Cried after wins, definitely after losses. That changes the discussion, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Trivers is the guy, Randy Trivers, the head coach at Gonzaga College High School at the time, was the one who started Caleb Williams as a freshman in high school when he knew he was going to get a lot of the blame if things did not go well. And until he completed a big Hail Mary in the city championship game, things weren't necessarily going well for Caleb Williams.
Now, there's a lot of other parts of this, too, that I think are very interesting. We're just touching on the Caleb Williams parts. This is Raheem Ann Harris on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the ballroom here at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Our segment, by the way, is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And as we continue to examine this book, for example, there's a lot in here about Tom Brady and Giselle and the dissolution of their relationship. And I think that that is a part of this, too, because it's set against the backdrop of also what Caleb Williams wants to do. So that kind of opens up the discussion here. There's a part where there's a conversation that's quoted between Brady and Giselle, and she says, what more do you have to prove? And then, you know, Super Bowl number 7 occurs, and then Caleb says to Carl, I want 8. Your quarterback says to his dad he wants 8 Super Bowls.
He sent him a text saying, I want 8, and Carl at first didn't even know what he was talking about. I was like, what? And then it sunk in. Oh, wait, Brady just won number 7. He's talking about 8 Super Bowls. So I understand that part. One of the interesting things about the way this all happened is the people he meets along the way, because he does play in Hollywood at USC.
Right.
And he has this dinner with Denzel Washington at Steak 48, and he shows up in sweatpants and realizes, I'm not dressed like everybody else is dressed here, starts furiously texting his dad, do I need to go home and change what's going on? And he's at the hostess stand, and Denzel calls him back to the private room, comes to get him. And I think having a conversation with Denzel Washington and the end result of that being that Denzel tells him, you're going to have to set your own sail, and that basically you're going to be alone on this journey. I think that did a lot of work in how Caleb looks at not only what he's gone through to get here, right, but also what he's going to have to do to go forward.
That part of it, I think, is really well communicated in this book. The exclusivity. And understanding that, yes, Caleb Williams hangs out with Denzel Washington at Steak 48 in L.A. Like, that's, if that doesn't put it into context. And that was really what Wickersham was trying to do. And I think a big part of this, too, also, is that my takeaway from that is that after seeing what he did on First Take, calling out the Cowboys,
hilarious,
and then talking to Caleb, I need more Denzel Washington on football. I need it immediately.
On sports.
Just, I need him to talk more about sports all the time.
And I guess technically we are a version of talking heads to him, but like I get it. I get everything he's saying in terms of his criticisms and everything else. But I'm glad that you're getting more background on Caleb. And that's why I think Bears fans should read this book to understand the quarterback position maybe a little bit better and the variance of that position depending on who you are.
Well, and I did come away from it a lot of times thinking to myself, they're correct. Like, Carl is correct. This CBA is incredibly limiting for the players who actually make the NFL run. And he's even more vindicated, I think, when you consider the mess that has happened with the Players Association. You know, we've talked about it with Mike Florio quite a bit. I feel like he was spot on. And when that first article came out, when he's talking about tape, and that was confirmed, by the way, that was confirmed that that was a concern of Caleb's. In the fact-checking sessions, that was part of it. I feel like he was a father trying to protect his son. The problem is he's also the agent responsible for Team Caleb. But again, that is a father trying to protect his son from getting eaten up by a machine that is built on people who are not like him.
The thing I took away with it specifically with Carl,
I can show you guys on Twitch all my bookmarks here, so you can see that. You can see all the bookmarks I have on here.
She's duly noted. I put all my notes into a document electronically, so I can
a lot more organized.
Well, I don't know if it's a lot more organized.
It's easier for me to flip.
It's organized in a different way, and I have like the page number for all my references and everything else. So I'll tell you, when you get to this book, you might want to go to page 335 because that's where it starts with this quote.
Flipping now.
We're drafting you no matter what. End quote. Bears general manager Ryan Poles told Caleb Williams. Now, see, here's why, and you get more context in this book, why that did not go over well with Carl Williams. Once you understand what the process was for Caleb deciding where he was going to play quarterback in college, and the fact that they understood that whoever I go play for quarterback in college, it's with one goal in mind. That goal is to be the number one drafted quarterback when I'm done playing in college. And to get some glory along the way, a.k.a. a Heisman Trophy. We're talking about Caleb Williams here on Raheem and Harris. We're broadcasting live from the Galaxy Ballroom here at Circa Resort and Casino, part of Football Contest Weekend. I hope you will join us tomorrow, by the way. We're going to be outside, cabana style, right? Stadium swim. I've never been. Layla talks beautifully about it, so I can't wait to get out there.
Going out there after this show.
Which will be 100-plus degree heat. But Carl Williams, the reason that they went with Lincoln Riley in college is because he had Baker Mayfield as a quarterback prior. He had other guys who had shown that they could be top of the line in college and have successful NFL careers. So to go through all these processes where you had picked a specific high school, you had picked a specific college, you had picked specific coaches to work with, who to avoid on the quarterback manufacturing circuit, over $80,000 spent in high school in trying to get your guy to be the best quarterback, a guy who was starting as a freshman at 5'9", a runt of a quarterback, but got the job done. And now all of a sudden you're told you're going to go play for a defensive-minded coach in Matt Eberflus, and nothing that Shane Waldron is doing is impressing you?
And that was part of it too. Do I want to go there? Williams told his confidants, I don't think I can do it with Waldron. Narrator. Well, he couldn't because nobody could. Carl had made it known to the Bears through third parties that he hated the hiring of Waldron, a Phillips Academy graduate who had briefly served as tight ends coach for both the Patriots during their dynastic reign and for the Los Angeles Rams. Waldron had a good reputation around the league, but Carl wanted the Bears to hire someone who was the brains behind the league's most dynamic offenses. Who does that remind you of? Not someone who had learned how to carry over a playbook. Caleb was wary, too. He asked those close to him, what do you think about the Bears? What do you think, not just what my dad think? Bad organizations are usually bad for a reason, most replied.
So when they went out and tried to get independent thoughts on the Bears as a place for a top quarterback to land, what you're left with is that last sentence in the vignette.
But here's my question. Who wouldn't do the same?
No one.
Even if just like we heard Kyle Tucker say to the media earlier today, he thinks that he can be the one to help the Cubs today. That's how they're wired. Even if you think you can do a lot, he, Caleb Williams, is checking himself and saying, not as what my dad say, do you think I could do this? He was doing his part. And I think that that is the grace that he deserves to be given when it comes to all of the excerpts that we're seeing. Now, did he have every right to think that? Yes. Should he have addressed it, which he did? Yes. But are we going to talk about what's in here because it was fact-checked in good faith? Absolutely. More to come here from Circa's Galaxy Ballroom here in Las Vegas. We have the book, Sec Wickersham's American Kings, the biography of quarterbacks. Yes, Caleb Williams is in it a lot. He goes back all the way to Y.A. Tittle. So we will discuss some more about this coming up next. This is Rahimi and Harris live from Las Vegas on 670 The Score.